Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, Miss Donna.
And happy Friday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I am so excited about our special show this evening. Oh my goodness, just wait, listen. I believe if you are married, contemplating marriage, know someone who's married, this show is for you. I believe so many people will be blessed just by hearing this couple's story on this evening. But again, welcome everyone to our special show on Friday. This is part one of our couples. We have a couple series, and so this is the part one of the couple series. But first of all, I know that the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway? Then I must go ahead for the new listeners. And I know this is a family show, so we have listeners of all ages. I'm going to just answer that question. And etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean teen, especially of court behavior. And, of course, Charles I and II of England copied the rules from the French court, and these rules became requirements everywhere, and I'm so grateful that they took the time to do that. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. And by the way, today is Friday, February 28th. We are broadcasting live from the chilly city of Atlanta. It's kind of cold today, guys. But anyway, once again, I'm so excited that you're joining us. This is our first part one of the series, and we're going to speak with a wonderful couple, and they are going to share their story about how they have made their 36-year marriage work. And you are going to be just so, so excited. And not only excited, but I know that you are also absolutely going to be encouraged. Now, we know a lot of times people will, on Valentine's Day, a lot of people that get engaged on Valentine's Day or they get married on Valentine's Day, or I know they tend to go really beyond the call of duty many times on Valentine's Day. And, you know, a lot of times people will get caught up in the commercialization of the holiday and they try to buy all these things and just all kinds of things that happen. And that's fine if you do that, and that's not a problem whatsoever. But we're going to talk about really the true love that really doesn't have to do a lot about trying to buy a whole bunch of things on that one particular day, but being loving and kind on every single day, and that is just so beautiful. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Let me go ahead and give you our email address. If you want to send us an email, a comment, or a question, or it's MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com, MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. If you feel that you want to join us live, you can feel free to call in 516-418-5894, okay? So we want to go ahead and bring on Eddie and Rhonda. Good evening, Eddie and Rhonda. Are you there?
Good evening. We are here.
We are.
Well, hello. I'm so excited to have you all. I know that from the bottom of my heart that you all are going to be a blessing to so many people who are going to be listening this evening. And I'm just thank you so much in advance for just taking time out to do this, okay? But what I would like to do, the first, you know what, as an audience, by the way, if you look up in the dictionary, if you look up great marriage, you're going to see a picture of Rhonda and Eddie, okay? So if you look that up, you'll see their picture. And listen, you guys, what I did, you know, I know a lot of times not as many people are really getting married nowadays. Did you know that? A lot of people are kind of living together and trying it out. And, you know, I just don't know if everybody that is listening actually are familiar with the vows, especially if you haven't been married. So I don't know if you're familiar with the vows. But, Eddie and Rhonda, what I did is I just looked up the traditional vow. And I'm going to read that real quick for those people who don't really know so that they can be abreast as well. But the vows just says, I, and then whatever your name is, take you and whoever the other person's name is to be my wife or husband, okay, to have and to hold from this day forward for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part, according to God's holy law. In the presence of God, I make this vow. So that's the vow guide for marriage. So I just wanted to let people know that, because if you haven't been married, you probably don't know exactly what the traditional vow is. So listen, Annie and Rhonda, tell me, if you would, along with the audience, just kind of tell a little bit about yourself. We know that you are Mr. and Mrs. Eddie and Rhonda Chapman, but just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you met and just whatever else you'd like to share.
Well, Eddie and I met at this gentleman's 21st birthday party, James Bradley, and actually neither one of us wanted to go to this party. We were drugged there by our friends. And it was a house party in your childhood neighborhood. And I was standing at the front door. It was in January, and I was getting some air with my friends. And Eddie and his two friends walked in, and so you had the three guys and four girls. And mm-hmm. when Eddie walked past me, I literally spoke out of my mouth, I'm going to marry him, which scared me to death. It scared me to death because I had just come out of a terrible relationship, and I wasn't too fond of men. I was very mad at them at the moment. And to hear myself literally speak those words were like, oh, my. And like I said, it was four ladies standing there, and three guys walked in, and I was the one left at the door.
And wow.
Went with another girl. So
wow.
That's how we met initially.
And
then Eddie tells the other part of how we met really well. So I'll let him tell his part when he acknowledged when he saw me.
I looked
Eddie.
Over and.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Go right here.
Oh, okay. Yes, and I was at the same party, of course, and I had been dancing with one of the young ladies that was with Rhonda. I didn't know Rhonda. I didn't really know the young the ladies that were there. But I looked, and she was over there, and I started to go talk to her, and some guy went and sat beside her, and I said, oh, man, I blew an opportunity. She normally dresses, knowing her now, she normally dresses really nice. She was in jeans and a had a sweatshirt on with R's all over it. And from that, you know, she was a diamond in the rough at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I can't wait till this guy, you know, leaves so I can talk to him. And so he left. So I went and sat down and started talking to her and been talking to her ever since then.
Wow. Oh, that is so beautiful, guys. Wow.
And I was planning to party that night, but my friends, they were kind of slothful in getting themselves together. And I'm ready to go at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm ready to get moved on this. They come to my house at maybe about 12 midnight, talking about, are you ready to go? And I said, well, no, I'm not going to go. And so they kept trying to encourage me, and I'm glad they did now.
Wow.
Because I talked about my wife. So that's how I ended up there at a party that I wasn't really planning on going, and I didn't know anybody at that particular party. So that's
little
how that
did
got
you know. Wow, that is so nice. So now you guys have been married, what, 36 years, is that right?
36 years.
Wow. Never, well, you know, nowadays.
Night anywhere else.
Say that again.
I said, I never spend a night anywhere else.
Wow.
With anyone.
That is beautiful. So 36 years. You know, nowadays, if people are married 36 months, that's a record. You know that, right?
Yes.
I know. Yeah, that's why we want you guys on here. So you have children. You have two boys, right, or men?
Well, we have two sons by birth. We have Jonathan that's 30 and Julian that's 28. And then we have three godchildren. Well, we have four godchildren. We have Kata 2 that's in the Gambia. We have her with Child Fund. And then we have Rosetta who's 36. We became her godparent through church. And then we have Kyle, who's 27.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Morgan, who is 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's over all of our no grandchildren yet, but we do have a grand fur baby who runs the house.
You have a grand dog. We talked about we had something in common. I have a grand dog, too.
That's my family.
Wow, that's beautiful. So now tell me, I know everybody's waiting to hear, what is one thing that makes your relationship so unique?
Oh, my.
I know there's several.
We have put every vow in our marriage vow to the test except one.
Mm-hmm.
We can check. We check them all off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. Richer or poor. A sickness and a health. It's just till death do us part is the only thing we have left to do. And, you know, we had some X's in ours, and we've checked them all off.
Wow. That is wonderful, and I'm so glad that I actually identified all of those at the top of the show, so it's beautiful. So talk about an adversity that you guys have had to overcome together.
Okay, Eddie?
If you don't mind, I'm going to step back just a little bit. What makes our relationship unique? Because it ties directly into your question that you just had, makes us something that we've overcome together. Something that makes our relationship unique is the fact that Rhonda lost her eyesight in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, we have a connection with each other that supersedes where we were prior to her losing her sight. Because before she lost her sight, she was a pretty independent lady. Mm-hmm. And now that she's blind, she had to depend more on me, and I had to depend more on her to just make it through that struggle. And so we're always connected. Everywhere we go, she's like on my arm. And sometimes people don't realize she's blind, and they say, "Oh, look at the lovebird." And we said, "Yeah, we're lovebirds, but we're also connected because we have a need for each other." And so she's always on my arm. And
beautiful.
You mentioned the thing about the adversity. The adversity comes. That's probably been one of the biggest adversities that we've had is her losing her sight. But she lost her eyesight in a day. She had a pseudotumor, which basically destroyed her optic nerves. And within 10 days, she lost her sight. And at that time, our boys were, what were they, around 7 and 9?
No, they were
10 and 12. They were coming into their teenage years, so it made it real tough. Just prior to her losing her sight in 2001, in January 2001, I lost my job. And then in May of 2001, she lost her eyesight. So there was quite a bit of adversity during that time. We don't even hardly remember much about the 9/11 because we were having our own 9/11 here in Indianapolis.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Wow.
Yeah, we were aware that it was going on, but we had our own towers that were falling down.
Okay. Wow.
And that's not to take anything away from that event. It's just that
sure. Just so happened they both happened the same year, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And that has made you all closer. I love it. Oh, my goodness. So if you all are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? To talk to us, a special version of our couples and Couples in Love. And we're talking to Rhonda and Eddie Chapman, and they are just sharing their story about, they shared how they met. And in case you joined us late, our shows are all archived, so you'll be able to go back and listen to the show entirety. And what a blessing, what an absolute blessing. And, you know, sometimes when there are adversities like that, sometimes, you know, people tend to separate and run, you know, and say, "Oh, I don't know if I can deal with this," and, you know.
Oh, definitely. That was a big concern for me when I was going through rehabilitation to get back on track with my life, because a lot of the clients that were there with me were talking about how their mates had left them when they lost their sight. And so it was a very big concern. And so now we're here in 2020, and physical obstacles have hit us again. You know, Eddie has now been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and now I'm starting to have seizures that they haven't figured out why or haven't gotten under control yet. So, you know, what we learned in 2001 and what has developed in our relationship through my blindness is also supporting and, you know, holding up where we're at now.
Because
it's not mainly affecting me. It's affecting both of us at the same time.
Wow.
So we're holding on. I mean, you know, of course, our main foundation and anchor is the Lord. But without Him, you know, we wouldn't be able to make it. But it's a learning experience, and it's a process that you have to go through. And you're going to go through things, you know. It's going to rain on the just as well as the unjust. So you just have to depend on God.
And that is the third chord, right?
That's
the
it.
Absolute third
it
chord.
Not easily broken.
Yes. So those of you that are listening, listen to this advice because you will go through things. And I'm sure that if you're married and you've been married more than a year, you've already gone through some things. And if you have not, then that's something that you may as well look forward to going through it. But they're talking about how even when she went blind, they have become stronger. And that was 19 years ago. Okay, so, wow. Oh, my goodness. So I do want to read an email. It says, Dear Ms. Donna, thank you for talking about marriage. My marriage is in trouble, and I'm interested in what Rhonda and Eddie will share. I've been married only 3 years. We have one child, Q. Okay, and let's see, and that's Roberta from Atlanta. And so, Roberta, I'm so glad that you are listening, and I know you are certainly being blessed by what you are hearing. We don't know what the situation you're going through right now. However, as you can hear, you know, you certainly can overcome it. Here's one that says, "Hello, my name is Flora, and would you please ask your guests how long they dated before getting married, or how long they think people should date first?" And thank you, Ms. Donna. This comes from Ruby in Las Vegas. Oh, so how long did you guys date?
We dated for a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not a long time. We didn't live together prior. We both came from our parents' homes. So I went from my mom to my husband. He went from his parents to me. And but you know, that was just how it was. It wasn't, I don't even think it was.
We didn't plan it.
Yeah, we didn't plan it. That's just where we were living at the time, and then we started dating and got engaged and went on with life, you know. But back to Roberta, what I'd like to tell her is my advice that I have always given through the years is you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have things that you don't always agree on. But sometimes you have to learn to agree to disagree or leave others out of your relationship. I mean, every time Eddie and I had a disagreement, I didn't always run to my mom and say, you know what he said? Because sure as I did, Eddie and I would get over it, make up, forget it, and every time she sees him, she's giving him the stink eye. So, you know, we agreed early on in our marriage to deal with it in-house, and you know, it had to be something really serious, you know, for us to step out and, you know, ask advice or whatever. But we didn't have many of those, thank the Lord. But we just decided early on to just keep other people out of our marriage and to work it out amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that is so beautiful.
Do you have anything to say? Eddie?
Yes, I agree.
What's your advice?
That was something that was that we stuck to, is to not let a lot of outside influences move into our marriage and make the decisions for us. But we would go into prayer. We would have opportunities to talk. One of the little morsels of information that I received from the Lord in prayer, because I always heard people say it's because of communications that you know, that's one of the major reasons for breakdown. That's probably the number one reason, is that there's a lack of communication. But as I thought about it and as I prayed about it, I was thinking, you know, when I was dating Rhonda, there wasn't a lot of communication. I just loved her. And she just loved me. We could have lived off of love alone. But there wasn't a lot of communication because we didn't, we just were learning each other. We were just getting to know each other. And I ran across a scripture, and that came from Matthew chapter 19. It was a situation where the Pharisees are trying Jesus. They're putting him to the test, and they're talking about marriage in that chapter. And in that chapter, well, let me just read just a little bit of it here. It's not very long. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came unto the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. And the Pharisees came upon him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And they, you know, they would leave their mother and father and cleave to their wives and husbands. And wherefore they also no more single, but they're now twined, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man tear asunder." And so they asked the question, the Pharisees asked the question, they said unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put them away?" And he said unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts is why he made that precept." It's because when people are ready to get a divorce, it's because their hearts have become hard. And so I ask God to never allow my heart to get hard, no matter what we go through or what we're dealing with. Because there are going to be times where you're going to want to point the finger, and you might be right. But as long as you have a tender heart that God can work with, I think you'll be successful in your marriage. Even the caller that called in, I mean, if she thinks about it, she can feel where her heart is now. You know, has her heart actually hardened, or is it still at a place that where God can bring complete healing to that heart? But that's why Moses gave them the divorce, because their hearts were hard. They said, "We don't want to make it better. We want to get a divorce." We want to separate. We want to walk away. Yep.
Wow. That is beautiful, Eddie. And, guys, if you are listening live, we look like we might lose you in less than about 2 minutes. However, we're going to continue with the show. Not quite sure why we are running out of time at this time, but we may lose you. You'll know what's going on. You'll also be able to go back and listen to the archive of the show, okay, because we are going to continue. I'm going to take a real quick break, Eddie and Rhonda, and then we'll be right back because I want to definitely address some more emails, okay? And by the way, you all are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway. We're speaking with Rhonda and Eddie, a wonderful couple in love for 36 years, and we will be right back, okay? Okay, we are back. Once again, if you guys, you are probably going to lose us in less than a minute right now, and you will be able to go back and listen to the archive of the show because we do want to continue. Anya Rhonda, I have an email. It says, My kids and I listen to your show often, and I appreciate the topics you discuss. My husband and I were married last Valentine's Day, and we are already separated because of a big fight. I love him, but he gets drunk and fights. My kid sees this, and I don't like it. Have either one of them ever had an alcohol problem? And if so, how did they handle it? This comes from Maureen in Cincinnati. Maureen, thank you so much for that email, and I'm just so hurt that you're going through that. So, Rhonda and Eddie.
Well, Miss Maureen, my heart goes out to you as well. No, Eddie nor I have ever had an alcohol problem or a drug problem, but currently we are dealing with a problem with our youngest son who has an alcohol problem. He went to the Marines and he came back altered. His personality came back changed. And recently I had to put him out of our home because he was, you know, being a disturbance and disrespectful. And, you know, the Lord just showed me that by me allowing him to continue in our home doing what he was doing, you know, not abiding by the rules and the arrangement and agreement we had, I was giving passive agreement to that spirit to have free reign in our home. And I did not want to have the argument with my son that we had, and I did not want him to leave my home the way he had to leave. But like I said earlier in the show, he's 28 years old, and we could not have that level of disrespect and disturbance, especially with the health issues that Eddie and I are already dealing with. So when you have a spouse and you have children, you have to think about your children just as I'm sure you are, and you do love them. I mean, I love Julian. I still speak to him to this day, and I'm praying continually that he will get his life together and, you know, come out of this spiral that he's in. But I would continue to tell your husband that, you know, I would continue to let him know that you do care, you do love him, and you're willing to go with him to get the help that he needs to keep your family together and whole. And I will be praying for you as well that that will come about, and that will come about very soon. Did you have a thought?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Maureen. And we certainly wish you all the best with that. So, again, we are speaking with Eddie and Rhonda Chapman. And they are being authentic here, and they're sharing from their heart on how their relationship has actually, you know, survived the test of time, if you will. And they've also made it very clear that it's not just the two of them, but the Lord is also the anchor of this relationship. And so I believe that the Lord has made the difference to be able to allow you all to be able to remain together and to go through what it is. And if you, in case you just joined us, I did read the actual vows, the traditional vow, and Eddie and Ron had told me that they actually have pretty much had to address each and every one of those vows except one, and that was till death do we part. So we know that is not coming for a long, 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 long time. So I'm just so glad that you all have taken the time, because I know this conversation is certainly touching other people's hearts, blessing them. For people who have not been married as of yet, kind of giving them an idea of what to expect. Oftentimes, everybody doesn't necessarily go through any type of spiritual counseling prior to getting married. And so a lot of times they don't really know what to expect. And so I certainly thank you all for, you know, for sharing your hearts with us. And I know you guys just came back from a trip to Spain too, right?
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. But before we go to Spain, I do want to say that our parents, you know, when we first became a couple and engaged and everything, we weren't under the covering of the Lord at that time, not actually. That came later after we became married. But the one piece of advice my mother gave me, well, actually the only piece of advice she gave me was, whatever you did to get him, you're going to have to continue to keep him. Mm-hmm. And then my father-in-law told Eddie, if you can't keep her in the manner to which she's used to, leave her where you found her. And I thought those two pieces were pretty telling, especially, like I said, in 2001 when I lost my sight, that was one bit of adversity. You know, that was the sickness and the health, and, you know, for richer or poor. You know, that 2001 was also the year we hit that one as well, because I lost my sight and Eddie lost his job. So to go from 100,000 to 15,000 and you're blind, you need the Lord. And if you don't already have him in your life, you are either going to fall apart and crash and burn, or you're going to find Jesus very quickly. So thankfully for us at that time, we were well-rooted with the Lord. But, you know, you have to pre-make. Another thing Eddie and I do is we pre-decide, you know, when things are going smoothly, how we would handle certain situations. You know, we kind of talk about it, we think about things, you know. You plan ahead so everything just doesn't hit you like a deer in the headlights. You have to think about these things. Now, we came back from a fabulous 20-day vacation celebrating our 35th anniversary at the time. And we flew to Barcelona, and we spent 3 days in Barcelona before we boarded the ship, and then we cruised for 16 days, and then we spent another day in Puerto Rico. But I have to let Eddie tell this story, because remember, as we are going through this fabulous dream that, you know, we've been planning for 2 years, planning this trip and paying for this trip and getting everything ready, and then right before we leave on the trip in October, Eddie is diagnosed with Parkinson's, and then in November, I start having seizures. And then, you know, everybody's like, well, maybe you shouldn't go,
Everybody tells us not to go.
And we're like, oh, we're going.
Hard-headed.
Oh, yeah.
We're going
to go, even if we don't make it back. We're going on this trip. So I'm going to let him tell this story, because it was a funny, it was like a Laurel and Hardy show for 20 days. It was just hysterically funny. But we made it. We made it back. Go ahead,
even on the first night of our stay in Barcelona, I think Rhonda had about 6 seizures. So if you can imagine this couple walking down the street, and they're having, and his wife is having seizures, and he's holding her real tight and close, because that's more of the custom in Spain. They do a lot of hugging of one another. So they just thought we were just in love, you know, in Spain. No, I was keeping her falling on the ground. And this went on. I mean, these seizures went on for the entire trip. I mean, we probably didn't do half the stuff we had planned to do.
Oh, we didn't do half the stuff.
But there were some times of enjoyment and some times of relaxation, because we had 5 days at sea. So that was just a time just to reflect and sit back. And we had a balcony room, and we just stayed on the balcony with a plate of fruit and some juice and just enjoyed one another's company. But we did enjoy it. And there were a lot of things that I wasn't used to, you know, with my sickness, and that included shuffling on my feet, couldn't hardly pick my feet up off the ground, found myself slobbering on myself, and that's, you know, that's at better or for worse, at worse. And I'm shuffling around, you know, along the whole entire coast. I face plant in this lady's lap.
I just failed.
Didn't trip over anything. That was just part of the Parkinson's. Is, you know, you lose your mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the type of things that was happening to me as we're over there in Spain. I even was pickpocketed. And they got my credit card.
Wow.
And so now the blind lady is trying to help me get my wallet back.
Oh, yeah, because he gets choked up. You know, it's like, well, what do you do? And he goes from a robust voice to this whisper, Policio. And I'm like, what in the world? I said, that's not going to work. I went straight hood, Donna. No etiquette at all. My arms are waving in the air. I'm screaming at the top of my voice, police, police, where's the police? We need the police. Somebody stole my wallet. Where's the police? I mean, I just went straight to the hood. It was comical. It was just, you know, we laughed about it. We laughed at him. Still laughing because, you know, but God was good because the whole time I was praying, Lord, just let it be invisible. Just let it be invisible because we weren't working with a traditional credit card because we don't have a card. We're preparing for retirement. So we our money was in our bank account, which was connected to our debit card. And my social security check was in there. Our paychecks was in there. So, you know, it was very crucial that we not lose that money. But, you know, it's perseverance. You have to decide, you're going to cry about it or are you going to trust God and laugh about it? And we just decided to trust God and laugh about it because, I mean, we were an hysterical couple to watch for those 20. And we got to St. Thomas. And
God was still in control. He still was mindful of what was happening.
Because we never lost a dollar. Nobody, if the wallet was found, they didn't use the card.
Yeah, we were right into the part of the city where they could have just went immediately to a store and bought something, but it never happened.
Mm-mm.
And then even after when we were on the boat, there was a couple that we just met while we were in the dinner line. They asked us, what did we think of the place? And I said, we thought it was nice, but I got, somebody stole my wallet. And they actually offered to give us some money to hold us over. That just shows how God works and can work even in the midst of your folly or your down settings.
And,
you know, we didn't need that, but we didn't lose anything. But it was just, you know, it was very gracious of them to make an offer like that. They didn't know. They were from Spain.
Wow. Now, that was certainly an act of kindness, and that was wonderful etiquette there. Wonderful etiquette.
Yes.
And act of. Wow.
And they're such kind people in Spain. I mean, the Spaniards are very passionate people. They love to talk and communicate, and you know how we're all on our devices. Eddie would see a lot of them actually reading a hardback book instead of staring at their phone, you know, or their tablet. They communicate a lot. I mean, at dinner, we're still on the rush. We had to slow it down because you would go in dinner, and they would expect dinner to take 2 hours.
And
most of the time, they're communicating, you know, and that's not something that Americans are used to, you know, we're used to get in and get out, but
it was
very educational, it was very eye-opening, and they were very concerned people, you know, when we lost our wallet, there were people just on the street that tried to help us find the police station, and which was comical, two police officers did come up to us on the street, and they told us to follow the blue line to the police station. So, you know, we follow the blue line. We get there. As soon as we come through the door, the policeman inside says, no English. We're like, what? What do you mean, no English? The guy on the street could speak to us. You can't speak to us. So we're pantomiming, and we're doing. And finally, he calls a friend that's at work somewhere else, and he tells him something. Then he gives the phone to us, and we're telling the man what happened and everything, and we go, well, if he just has Wi-Fi, you know, or an internet, we could take care of the situation ourselves. We could get the car canceled. And the gentleman tells us, no, he doesn't have Wi-Fi or internet. To get to the closest Wi-Fi, you have to go to the McDonald's, which was back near where we were to start with, before we start following the blue line. It was just hysterical, Doug. It was the most craziest situation, but, you know, it was a learning situation, and I think from now on, Eddie will forever.
It was definitely a learning experience for me, because just the day before, my wife, whom I love, told me not to carry my wallet in my back pocket. And guess what?
You didn't follow instructions. And you should know that.
I didn't miss. And you know what? Even in all that, she never pointed her finger and said, you. She said, we got to get it stopped. We got to get it stopped now.
Now, say that again. Say that. Please repeat that, because oftentimes I think we naturally, from the flesh, will say, oh, no, didn't I tell you that? I told you that. So why did you have it in your back pocket? Because I had already told you that. So repeat what you just said again. When that happened, what happened?
When it happened, I just said, you know, I took blame for it, you know, because she had told me to not do that. But I was hard-headed, didn't listen. And then although it happened, she never pointed a finger to say, I told you that, didn't I? I knew soon as it started to pass, or soon as we were trying to recover the cards and everything. Yeah.
But you know what went through my mind at that time? Because, you know, we are flesh and blood and passionate people. As soon as he acknowledged that his wallet had been stolen, my flesh wanted to rile up. And I had to pull it back to say, Rhonda, he is a strong black man, and he has his pride. Now, you could stand here berating him, or you can work with him. Because, you know, it wouldn't have accomplished anything for me to go on a tirade about what I had already told him the day before. His wallet's still gone, and we still got to make sure nobody gets to our money. And I just thank the Lord that for a minute and listen to the Spirit. You know, he's feeling whatever he's going through, you know, with his thing, his pride. And I had to step up. You know, I had just had a seizure about 10 minutes before, and we were heading back to the boat. And on the way back, we were going to pick up a T-shirt. And so I had to pull myself together to step into the role to help him get to where we needed to be. And I'm just glad I didn't go on a fleshly, emotional tirade about didn't I tell you and this, that, and that. I mean, you know, I'm married to a strong black man. He's already dealing with Parkinson's. He's already dealing with me and my blindness and my seizures. And then I'm going to stand out here in the middle of a green bridge, they tell me, hooping and hollering and berating him. No, that would not have been the proper way to handle that at that time. That would not have been good at all. But we've had 35 years to get there. Now, back at year one, I would have been all in the flesh. I'm just going to tell the truth. I wouldn't have handled it right. But we've had 35 years, and we've been through some things together. And he's had his opportunity to have berated me and had his tirade. But, you know, you grow together and you learn, preferably, hopefully, with the grace of God, you learn how to love this helpmate that he did, how to talk to him, how to relate to him. And you have to let that stuff take root, and you have to act on it.
And it sounds like, too, again, of course, this is the What is Etiquette Anyway show. We're talking to Eddie and Rhonda Chapman out of Indiana. They have been sharing from their heart how their marriage has actually been sustained. And after so many different adversities, but they have overcome them all with the help of the Lord. And I'm just so grateful to have them on. And it sounds like you all certainly practice having good etiquette.
just, and of course, the first rule of etiquette is treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the golden rule.
Yeah.
And it certainly sounds like that is certainly applicable in your marriage. And then when it comes to kindness, you know, you sound like you're being very, just very genuinely kind to each other. And normally when we genuinely love somebody, we are kindness. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness. And so I have one last email I've received. It says, Miss Donna, I cannot believe Miss Rhonda is blind because it sounds like she's leading a regular life. Her husband sounds nice. Thanks for this show. I hope when I get married, we will be that happy. This comes from Sarah. Sarah, thank you, Sarah in Atlanta. Thank you for that, Sarah. I don't know how old she is, but I hope you're that. I hope you are that happy too when you get married.
That's
so wonderful.
Thank you for that statement, Miss Sarah. You're right. I am living a normal happy life. I work 30 hours a week. I do my volunteering. I do my advocacy. I still continued on with my same lifestyle before I lost my sight and then added to it because of the loss of my sight. So, you know, I just reached I'm a step away from reaching a milestone with Toastmasters International. That's an international leadership and speaking, public speaking development training program that is all over the world. And at the top of the pinnacle is your Distinguished Toastmaster certification. And I'm one step, one member away from earning that this April. And it has been a long journey. And it has been a journey that, you know, Eddie has joined Toastmasters as well. And he's been my scribe because, you know, it does require a lot of writing and communicating.
Mm-hmm.
But we worked it together, and
so
I'm glad, though, because my personality never – oh, I'm sorry. Did you say something?
I'm just saying I think that is so beautiful.
Yeah, my personality was never to curl up and just shrivel up and die. I always have an outgoing personality, and with the, you know, the help of my family and my husband and the Lord, I've been able to continue on and to try to encourage others. And I always tell others, you can make it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You can make it.
And I remember also, Rhonda, when you first lost your sight, I remember Uncle Jacob, I remember him one day. I think he had just maybe left you all's home or hung out with you all or something. And he came to our house, and he was telling Mom, he said, I just can't believe Rhonda's blind because she's just still doing, you know, all the things. She's just still so independent. And it was like, he was like, wow, that is just amazing to me. And, But I think and public speaking is dear to my heart. In fact, I coach public speaking, and I start working with the younger children. And I can recall about 4 years ago, one of the parents came to me and she said, I don't know. She said, my daughter is blind, Ravina, and she would very much like to be in your public speaking class. You know, would you be willing to have her? I thought, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And Ravina, gosh, she was in maybe the third grade then, second or third grade. And she has since gone on to speaking at some, I can't remember the event, but some national event. I remember they sent me the copy of the YouTube video that she did. And I'm just so proud of her. But she said her parents, her mom said, well, I didn't know if you would, you know, work with her or not. I said, oh, absolutely I will work with her. And she just did exceptional, just absolutely exceptional. And
where there's
so,
a will.
Wow.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Donna.
Yes. Yes.
We also have there's also Rhonda's story at our employer. We work for a place called Bosma Enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And we do the rehabilitation for the state of Indiana for people who are blind or visually impaired. And Rhonda has her story out there. If it's okay to give the website for that.
Oh, absolutely. Please do
that. Well, it's our story, honey.
It's called Bosma, B-O-S-M-A, .org/ stories, that's plural, S-T-O-R-I-E-S, / Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, - Chapman. So it's bosma.org/ stories / Rhonda - Chapman. And it's the story about her losing her sight.
Wow. Okay, so audience, please make sure you go to bosma.org to check her story out. I know I'm certainly going to do that. And we'll be wrapping, we'll be wrapping up in about 3 minutes here, but I certainly do want, I plan to go to that just after we finish. But listen, the both of you have been just so delightful, so encouraging, and I know so many people have been touched by your story. And thank you so much for being just so transparent and really sharing from the heart. And what I try to do is when I have guests that come on, because I do this show for a purpose, of course, the goal is to make the world a polite place to live, but it's also to just educate and to inform, and more than anything else, to encourage others. And so that is certainly what you all have done on this show. I'm just so delighted that you have been on this evening. And I certainly would love to have you come back and just kind of update us on how well you're doing, because I know that you will continue to overcome everything that the enemy throws at you. Okay, so I already know that. In the word it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So you already have overcome and conquered anything else that comes against you. And again, thank you so much for joining. And audience, I thank you as well for tuning in to this special broadcast of Friday, What is Etiquette Anyway? Show. And thank you for supporting our show, those who send emails, that call. I'm so grateful to have you a part of the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Also, remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have an etiquette topic you would like to hear us cover in the future, just reach out and let us know about that, okay? Please be sure to tell your friends and family about the show. Invite them to listen. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, and we know we can only do that one person at a time, and also with your help. Remember, the first rule of etiquette is the golden rule, which is treat others the way you want to be treated. That comes out of Matthew 7:12. Remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And in my opinion, Rhonda and Eddie have certainly walked this out, okay? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Eddie and Rhonda, thank you all again. I applaud you. And we'll talk again on Sunday. We will have another couple coming up on this Sunday at 7 p.m. And take care. Good night. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and God bless.